Greetings, salutations, and welcome to another edition of the COVID Report, your one-stop shop for all of the facts, the stats, the figures, and none of the misinformation as it pertains to all things COVID-19. You can call me Game. I am joined, as always, by my partner in crime, Siphosihle Mbuli, and together we are going to give you another jam-packed, informative show here on the COVID Report. Now, on the show at this time, we are going to take a look at how you can maintain the health of your credit during these tricky, unprecedented times of a COVID-19 lockdown before we shift focus and chat all things personal health and keeping yourself fit during these tricky, unprecedented times. And for that discussion, we will employ the expertise of Buntu Machaya. And we will tell you all about him later on in the show. Before we get straight into today's offering, let's take a look at the ways in which the numbers have come in as it pertains to all things COVID-19 in South Africa. The stats as of Wednesday, May 20th, 2020, see the total number of positive cases confirmed across the country just cross over the 18,000 mark, just under 9,000 recoveries recorded, just over 300 fatalities all over the country. This is an increase of just over 800 new cases. If we shift our focus straight to the Western Cape, the epicenter of the pandemic, just over 11,000 of the over 18,000 confirmed cases across the country attributed directly to the Western Cape. In fact, it has emerged that Tygerberg Hospital in Cape Town is already under pressure trying to keep a lid on this pandemic. So it's getting a little bit tricky for Tygerberg Hospital in particular as it pertains to their ability to assist in the curbing of the pandemic in the Western Cape. Now, I did mention that we would be chatting about trying to maintain a healthy credit during these tricky, unprecedented times. And to help me facilitate that discussion, we are joined at this time by Meselina Maketa, who is a project manager at the Credit Bureau of South Africa.
Thank you for inviting me to your show, COVID-19 Report. And yeah, hi to your listeners as well.
We appreciate you taking your time to chat to us here on the show. Now, through your work with the credit bureaus, can you shed some light as to what trends they have reported during this absolutely tricky and unprecedented time?
Let me first give the background of the CBA, Credit Bureau Association, so that our listeners don't confuse the two. Right. So the Credit Bureau Association, the brief background to that is that it is an industry body and our members are the credit bureaus. So we are not the credit bureaus. These credit bureaus are companies that store and maintain information on consumer credit history. So when we say someone is a credit active person, we mean that they, you know, have applied for credit with the credit providers and they have been granted credit. So according to the CBM, Credit Bureau Monitor, from the NCR, quarter three, September 2019, as at that date, we had 25.14 million of credit active people or citizens in South Africa. So from our side, the trends that we are seeing, the credit bureaus are receiving numerous queries from consumers, from suppliers, from clients, and from the public at large in relation to how a COVID-19 payment holiday will be reflected on a consumer credit record. And whether a payment holiday or an agreement for extended payment terms will negatively impact a consumer credit record or a credit score, if I may explain it in another term. So as an industry, what we have done But firstly, the credit providers and the credit bureaus are working together under the auspices of the South African Credit Risk Reporting Association, which is SACRA, to really ensure that any COVID-19 payment holiday granted are correctly reflected on the credit bureau and that consumers are not unduly negatively affected.
Now, you briefly touched on it just now, but it does go without mentioning that the popular chatter among these circles has been the payment holiday, especially for those whose professional or work endeavors have been affected financially by these unprecedented times. So when it comes to that entire concept of people taking payment holidays, can you unpack that entire process for us?
So what the credit bureaus have done, they have conducted an impact analysis on the variables that make up a credit score and affect consumer score. And we have found that provided the credit providers correctly submit data to the credit bureaus for any payment holiday and or extended terms provided in terms of COVID-19 as set out in the data submission guidelines, consumer credit scores should not be impacted. But we do, however, expect scores to deteriorate over time as the economy takes strain and further consumer default positions emerge. So what we see people more interested is the dynamics around what is a payment holiday, what is extended terms, and that those are two concepts that I really want us to unpack today. So when a payment holiday or extended terms are granted, these are displayed differently on their credit bureau record. So let's start with a payment holiday and at least give our listeners a background or an explanation that what does that mean? So when we say a payment holiday, really that refers to the instance where the next installment due has been postponed to a future date, but the number of installments expected to settle outstanding balance remains unchanged. In other words, a loan will now be repaid over an extended period. So I'm going to use a quick example, let's say a typical example for our listeners to understand what this means in practical terms. Let's say a consumer A has got an account with credit provider A, right? And let's say the consumer, I'm going to use a simple rent so that our listeners can follow the explanation and the discussion thereof. So let's say a consumer has got a debt with this credit provider for 600 rand, right? And then a payment holiday is granted. And consumer initially was supposed to pay, and then I'm using this as an example, the 600 in 3 months, let's say June, July, and August. So now, when a payment holiday is granted, then we now postpone the payment to a future date. And let's say our future date in this regard, it can be from starting of August. So a consumer will now pay 200 rand in August, 200 rand in September, and 200 rand in October. So that makes up the 600 rand. So then that goes in line with the definition to say that the next installment has been postponed to a future date, right? So now let's look at the extended terms. So extended terms really means that or refers to where a consumer and a credit provider agree to vary the repayments terms so that the number of installments increases. But here, specifically, the next installment date remains unchanged, but the installment amounts are reduced and the number of installments to be paid are increased. Let's go back to the example that we have used with the payment holiday. And I just want consumers to understand that we are using this so that they can relate and understand the differentiation between these two terms. So going back to the example that we have used of a consumer, let's say perhaps owing the 600 rand and was supposed to pay it in 3 months. So, and then the next installment was June. So with the extended terms, the next installment will be June. But according to the agreement from the credit provider and the consumer to vary the repayment terms, then they can agree that then June, the consumer will pay 100 rand instead of 200 rand, July, so forth. So then let's say in this case, the extended terms now, it's 6 months and consumer pays 100 rand each month. So really, that is the explanation between two terms, how they really works, and the differentiation of a payment holiday and extended terms. But we should emphasize that
sticking with the theme of these unprecedented times and the question of whether or not to take up the option of taking a payment holidays and the effect on the credit profile that we've just briefly touched on. How should consumers protect their credit profiles during this time?
That is a very good question. And I want to go back and explain who our members are so that the explanation will now inform our answer. So out of our members, we have got 5 credit bureaus that hold consumer credit information. And those bureaus are Consumer Profile Bureau, CPB, Experian, TransUnion, and VeriCred, and XDS, right? So those are the credit bureaus that hold consumer credit information. So now we are saying to the consumers that indeed it is the tough times for all of us, and we are saying that how should consumer now protect their credit profile during this time? In the first instance, we recommend that consumers check whether their loans are covered by credit life insurance, which may cover the repayments of their loans up to 12 months in the event that they are retrenched or unable to earn an income. So if your loan as a consumer is covered by credit life insurance, your credit bureau profile will not be affected in any manner, as the loan amount will be credited monthly by the credit provider. So in the event that their loans are not covered by the credit life insurance, they may apply to their credit provider for a payment holiday or requested an extended payment in relation to their loans. So remember, we have just discussed and explained a payment holiday and their extended terms.
We know from previous reports that South Africans are generally reliant on credit. And in keeping with the theme, the tricky, unprecedented times we're all in, leaving some South Africans with the decision of whether or not to exercise options of taking a bit of credit, taking a payment holiday, and seeing how they'll be able to rectify and pay back their debts as time progresses. Would you say that this is the right time for banks to consider increasing the bank loan or credit card limit?
You're certainly right. Yes, like other emerging economies, South Africa is not a cash country. But given the circumstances of where we are, given the uncertain times of COVID-19, it will be prudent for consumers to look at increasing their credit for essential purchases only. You know, and All increases to credit require an assessment. Consumers should be aware of that. One, to check that you can afford the monthly repayments of the proposed credit. And two, secondly, to check that your income versus current debts is at an acceptable level for the credit provider to grant you credit. Also, the credit bureaus during this COVID-19 lockdown are issuing free credit reports for consumers. And I'm sure you will give me the opportunity to give our listeners more information as to where they can request this information. And we really encourage them to go check their credit reports.
Well, if you could please absolutely share that information with us and with our listeners as far as where they can go and who they can talk to.
So, Ganelihle, from the CBA space, we have done a lot of work in terms of educating consumers and creating awareness on how to maintain a good credit report. We are active on social media platforms. We are on Twitter, CBA is social. So it says at CBA is social. Our Facebook page, CBA Education Hub. Our website, www.cba.co.za. And on Instagram, Credit Bureau Association. LinkedIn is Credit Bureau Association on South Africa. That is for more information on how to maintain a good credit report. And there's more information there that the consumers can relate to. And on checking their credit report, for Consumer Profile Bureau, which is CPB, they can visit their website, www.myfreecreditreport.co.za. All in small caps and one word, www.myfreecreditreport.co.za.
We've been joined by Meselina Maketa, who is a project manager at the Credit Bureau Association. Thank you so much for taking time to chat to us here on the show.
Thank you, Kamelihle. We really hope that the consumers are now more enlightened, and we wish all the consumers health and wellness during this time of lockdown. We encourage consumers to contact their credit providers to obtain relief in the instance that they are not able to meet the agreed payments. And when doing so, they must please remember to check the terms and conditions, those we call the T's and C's, of any arrangements for financial relief granted, including any additional cost or charges that may be levied. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
You just heard from Meselina Maketa. We took a moment to speak to a few people who offered to share their stories and their experiences with us as it pertained to how they are managing fulfilling their monthly credit obligations. And this is what they had to say.
This lockdown period has been a very tough one. It has changed my livelihood completely. Me being unable to pay my monthly debts due to not receiving a salary, lack of monthly groceries, having to cut out a lot of what I would normally call essential. Even though I've tried stretching the little that I have to acquire or be able to buy basics, but it's tough. It's very stressful, and when reality strikes, I find myself in a dark place at times, not being able to know where to from here. Where is the next meal going to come from eventually? Having the kids at home full time also plays a huge role in the stress level that one is going through, because now you have to feed kids constantly. They're always hungry. They not understanding what's going on around them, as they see, or they, according to them, they're just on a long holiday because there's this virus that's hit South Africa and the whole world, but to them is as per norm. It's really frustrating, I must say, not having an income, not being able to provide for your family as per norm, as you would normally do. It's tough. It's tough. Guys, give me a piece, it came. How? It's very difficult, and yeah, and the kids are also now starting to feel it. The frustration is kicking in, even though we receive school work for them to keep them busy. But it's from a certain time to a certain time, after that, frustration kicks in again. I've tried maintaining a routine for them, but yeah, no, I'm feeling it as well. You know, the stress levels, you snap easily. Any little thing that you come across becomes a big thing. You now start have to measure what one eats, how often one should eat, and you know, it's draining emotionally and physically. And at the end of the day, you're the one that's expected to be the strong one, keep it together for everybody, and you have nowhere to go to, no one to cry to, no me time. I haven't experienced a me time in forever, this past 6 or is it now 8 weeks or so. I haven't had that, and to me, my me time is essential, because that's where I cry or do whatever. But now it's not even about me anymore, it's them, and ensuring that they are always okay, they always get what they need. But it's tough without an income. It's really tough. I just thank God that we are able to go through each and every day with a full meal on our plates, and really grateful that this virus has not been able to infect, or has not infected any of us thus far, or any of our family members, because we are actually keeping it safe and staying indoors and surviving with what we can and what we have. We work with what we have at home. My creditors are back again. They started calling left, right, and center. I keep preaching the same story. They will just say, yeah, we understand. Day after next, they'll call you again, same story. But it's tough. I don't even know if we're ever going to get out of this. Where to even start? I don't know where to start to adjust myself again, adjust this lifestyle. I don't know financially. I don't know where to start. I don't know what I'm going to do. How am I ever going to catch up with my debts at this moment? I have no clue.
I work at an entertainment company, and they only pay 50% of our salaries. I have arranged with my landlord to pay 50% of my rent, as the company I work for have provided us with a letter to use at financial institutions for our landlords. I have 2 kids who are in school, a preschool and a private school, private primary school, you know. So the preschool my daughter attends have relieved us from paying school fees for now, as they have arrangements with the bond and they got funding from the government. And as for my other daughter's primary school, we have applied for financial relief, but I am still waiting for their feedback. Since I was able to do all these arrangements, my debit orders aren't affected, but my cash flow is affected, as I run out of money before month end. The only stressful thing is that entertainment industries will only open at level 1, which makes me anxious. because I don't know how long I will earn 50% of my salary, as I don't know when we will reach level 2 or 1.
Hi guys, so my name is Kayla Mokhadi and I'm a Truist account holder for the last decade, I think. And in that period of time, with me being having an active account with Truist, I've never missed payment due until, of course, this pandemic bubble. So what happened now is last month I got half of my paycheck at work. And then obviously we're getting half, a lot of things had to be, you know, cut. So what I did was I was supposed to pay $1,002, my monthly installment that was due for last month, but I only paid half of that, which was I paid about 600 rand. And then fast forward to this month, I'm getting a call, Bampotore, I need to pay 500 because I'm in arrears. But I'm like, guys, I've never, not even once, you know, underpay or not pay. But because of this pandemic that is happening, even at work, my paycheck just got half. So I have a lot of responsibilities that I need to attend to. So now I was able to only pay half of it, but clearly they were not having that. And they were they sent me a text saying I'm in arrears for 550. So it's really, really sad that to see such companies that we've been loyal to are not sympathizing with us when we need them the most.
My name is Eric Magwanyana. I work for a company that is in the gambling industry. The coronavirus and the lockdown has affected me and my colleagues greatly because our business is not making money since we don't deal with online gambling. The gambling in our business requires people to be there at the site to play the machines. So because of lockdown, they are not allowed to play, so making zero income. In March and April, our employer instructed us to take leave, but also to do time sheets for all the work that we have done while we were at home. So it worked nicely. We're one of the fortunate people because we could get our full salaries for March and April, but most of our staff, our admin and our provincial staff didn't get salaries for April. They were on unpaid leave because their leave days were finished. So since we have worked in April and we have worked in March, although our hours are not, we didn't work for the full month of April. We didn't have enough work, but at least it boosted our leave days because those hours were credited on our leave. So now we have enough leave days. But for April, our employer decided that no one is going to take annual leave. We're just going to pay you for the hours that you have worked. So it becomes difficult because now in May, there's not enough work at all. There isn't a lot of work because since the business is not making money, and I think in April we were helped by the fact that March was our year end and we had auditors that we had to provide with some information. So we had a bit of work in April, but now in May we don't have enough work at all. So we are almost not paid for April. So we're going to depend on the little pay and the UIF that is going to be claimed. So what we did now, they gave us letters, our employer gave us letters to submit to our creditors. I have submitted a request from FNB so that they can pay, they will give me a loan so that I can pay my car installment and any balance on the credit card that I have. And yeah. And I'm also arranging for deferment of the rent where I am. So hopefully things will go well and hopefully the lockdown will not take too long. Because if it takes longer, it's going to be difficult. Yeah, but economically, it has really affected us. Because also in April, we're due for salary increases. But those salary increases didn't happen because of the coronavirus and the lockdown.
Well, as you can hear from those voices, it is a complex time. I think complex is the best word to use to describe these situations. It may be difficult for some more difficult than others, but they are doing what they can. They are doing their very best during these unprecedented times. We are going to shift the gears now and talk about how to keep yourself healthy during this time. We've talked about how you can keep your credit healthy. We're shifting the focus to you and the human body. And we are going to do so by employing the expertise of Buntu Machaya, who we will tell you all about in a bit.
Noisy neighbors making you turn up the volume. We get it, but there's noise, and then there's need. So if you hear something disturbing happening nearby, take action. Turn down your radio and turn up your attention. If you hear the sounds of gender-based violence, visit gbv.org.za or contact the GBV Command Center on 0800 428 428 to report abuse or ask for help. Don't drown out the noise. Listen harder. gbv.org.za is there. If something's happening next door, nearby, or next to you, turn down your radio. Listen. Act. We'll be right here when you're done.
This show is brought to you by Voice of Vets in partnership with Higher Health.
And welcome back. You are listening to the COVID Report, a show that unpacks all things COVID-related with myself, Sipho Sifengwa Sezanambuli, and I could never do what I do alone. I am joined by Game. And today we tackle a different aspect of COVID and speak about the physical impact the lockdown has had on many South Africans. And for that, we are joined by Buntu Machaya, who's a human movement and sports science graduate. He is busy with his sports management honors degree. Buntu is also a personal trainer, an athlete, a men's health cover model, a fashion and fitness model, and if I can throw him under the bus slightly, a proud netball player for Kankies Aims. Good evening, Buntu. How are you today? And welcome to the COVID Report.
Thanks for having me. That was an introduction and a half. I feel important.
So, Buntu, as an athletic and sports-driven person, what was life before the lockdown looking like for you?
Jeez, before the lockdown, as with everybody else, movement obviously was easier. I could generally go out and actually do my physical activities outside. So, with regards to the netball that you spoke to, we'd actually have social games, have tournaments and everything. Now being confined to just your house and your home, you can only do so much in terms of your home workouts and actually keeping active and busy. It's a challenge. It's different. It's a new setting, but 100% do miss being outside and actually playing sports with my friends and meeting new people.
No, I hear you 100% loud and clear. Mr. Machaya. And again, thank you so much for joining us on the show. The lockdown restrictions that were announced by President Cyril Ramaphosa in March were very strict. They first cut all the activities that involve more than two people being in contact with each other at the same time, namely social distancing, which is in your area of expertise as a personal trainer. I'm curious as to how you initially received these announcements when they were made. Was there any sort of, I imagine you didn't take the news within your stride. You didn't necessarily react positively to the news when you first received it. So how could you unpack your initial reaction to these announcements for us?
So initially with those, announcement, It was a big blow, personally, in terms of sort of business as a personal trainer. And, I mean, all my streams of income involve me being in contact with and being around a lot of people. So, for instance, like the modeling, we go to castings with personal training. We had a gym setting where I'm seeing my clients amongst other people. Or I'm seeing my clients outside, maybe two or three clients at a time, or teaching classes. So all of my streams of income were affected greatly by that. my immediate stream of income, which would have been, which is my personal training, obviously I had to sort of, after taking it in my stride, I had to sort of remodel my business model or restructure it, so to say, in a sense where now we move from my personal in-person contact sessions to more of Zoom video sessions or FaceTime video sessions, or me compiling a video where I train myself at home with instruction and I send it through to my clients. So it just presented myself with an opportunity where obviously I can just remodel my business and not be stuck in the ways of just having to do personal training in person and thus not being able to actually generate an income, because then obviously I can't see anybody. So that means that I wouldn't have that interaction with anyone and I'd lose work. Understand?
100%. And I know you're the type of personal trainer that runs with their client, the 5 kilometers that the client said they wanted to run. So you are very dedicated to this. But now can I ask, with the lockdown restrictions, I'm asking the wrong questions. Sorry, Sushresha, I'm going to stop that. I'm going to take the question. And I know, as someone who knows your personal training, you are very committed to your clients. You are the personal trainer that runs 5 kilometers with their client who said they wanted to run. But as someone who has studied human movement, please share with us what happens to the human body when someone is not moving the way it was once used to, let's say going to the gym 4 times a week or running 5 kilometers every 3 to 5 days. What happens when things get taken away, such as movement?
So initially when you start moving and you get into sort of a habit and a routine, we all know that your body adapts to that. So you reach an initial, there's an initial stage, you reach a shock stage, and then from your shock stage, you adapt to that. And that's when you start now introducing new stresses within your workout, obviously to now keep challenging yourself. So if your body is used to that and you stop doing that, you go through what we call as atrophy. So you atrophy, where the muscle that you've actually built and the muscle fibers that you have managed to develop and make stronger start losing their strength and their functionality. So obviously as young people, we don't suffer from that as much as the older generation, because we still have the ability to regain that quicker. But everybody's body, they go through this process of atrophying. And to put it in simple terms, we have a term where we say use it or lose it. So when you're not using it as much or as effectively, you generally do lose that strength complex, or if you were a runner, you lose your fitness, your ability to actually run that 5K in maybe in half an hour. And maybe if you try it out now after 2 or 3 weeks of not moving, you're managing to run a 5K in maybe 40, 45, close to an hour, because your lungs aren't used to it, your heart is not used to the strain, it's not used to the stress. So yeah, so your body just sort of goes back to, to a state of rest, if you get what I'm saying, where you it's not used to doing too much work. It just does enough, which is waking up, going to the kitchen, eating, going back to bed, watching TV, and maybe doing some schoolwork.
Yet another indication of what has become a motif here on the COVID report, another indication of the domino effect of this pandemic and how this domino effect manifests itself throughout every single facet of our livelihoods and our lives and everything connected to that. Now, in lockdown level 5, among the many things that were outlawed, running outside was one of them, very contentiously so. And you mentioned earlier that you are the kind of personal trainer who enjoyed running the distance with your clients. And with that in mind, I'm curious as to how you, as an individual personal trainer, adapted to this particular restriction and not only continued to keep yourself fit and clock in the amount of work you probably would have gotten done in a regular run outside by yourself or with a client? And also, how did you adapt to keeping in touch with your clients and keeping them motivated to continue exercising in these difficult times?
Okay, so in terms of, I'll start with the keeping communication and keeping in touch with my clients. Since before the lockdown and everything, my clients and I have always had an open channel of communication. So through either WhatsApp messages, WhatsApp calls, emails, or phone calls. So the fact that we had established sort of a network like that, or opened up communication like that, it hasn't been difficult to maintain that. For instance, some of my clients, I'm training them through just giving them a call or dropping them a message, and I just let them do that work. And obviously they just give me feedback on how it was and everything like that. So we don't necessarily do those video sessions. So by opening those channels of communication, it's been easier now as it was before. It hasn't been much of a channel, challenge for me or my clients, because we generally just spoke, whether it's random things to training, psychological issues, what have you. And so I just repeat your other question for me that you asked me besides the communication.
I asked you to just expound on how you adapted to the restrictions of level 5, not being able to run outside, not being able to join your clients on those runs outside that you normally would under normal circumstances.
Oh, yes, 100%. So what I've done with my clients, because even when I'm training my clients in the gym, whether we're doing it inside or outside, and I remove sort of a running element or the running aspect, because if I put it in a bracket, sometimes I even train my running clients or my triathletes in a different manner, where I remove the running or the swimming or the cycling, because that's generally what they're actually doing in the, what you call this, the specific activity or the specific sport that they're playing. So it's, for me, it's been easier with my clients to introduce things like skipping. So we do things like skipping. If you don't have a skipping rope, I mean, we can still skip without a skipping rope. I'm a big fan and a big advocate of cardio spikes in between a specific a training regimen that you have set up. So for instance, if I give you an overview of a workout, maybe that I've set up, let's say I've got 8 exercises within that session, and after each 2 exercises, I group each exercise in 2s, and in between those 2s, I have something called a cardio spike. So let's say I have you doing squats. After your squats, you're doing lunges immediately. And then on the 3rd exercise would be your cardio spike. Your cardio spike could be anything from a skip for a minute, burpees for a minute, or you're running high knees with something that I call horse kicks for a minute. So just something to get your heart going, your lungs going, your lungs working, and your heart just pumping as much as it would be if you were actually running outside. So that's just the way I have incorporated the high intensity aspect of that training session. But because everything now is structured in a body weights and home training sessions, you have the luxury of making each and every exercise or every second exercise a high intensity exercise. So things like your burpees, like I said, from a push-up, you give them a burpee or 10. From your crunches or from your planks, you give them something like a side-to-side jump lunges or side-to-side toe taps. So just something to move the whole body to get your heart and your lungs going. So it's a cardiovascular strength and training and conditioning.
You paint a very good picture of other ways we can do without the gym. I worry, will we even go back to gym when this is all over after that talk? But now with level 4 lockdown here, and we are now seeing the 3-hour working out window. So from 3 to 9 a.m., you're allowed to run, cycle, and do all those things. Are you happy with the level 4? And now that you are able to do these things, has level 4 changed the way you work? Has it changed the way you relate to people, to any of your clients? Have any of them opted to work in the 4-hour window, the 3-hour window? Was the 3-hour window even necessary in your opinion?
In my opinion, from personally for myself, it hasn't changed. I've just been maintaining caution, especially with my clients, because I don't want to, this is not personally from my end, I don't want to sort of expose my clients to any situations that they'd feel uncomfortable with, let alone situations where I'd feel uncomfortable with. Because knowing from the gym that I work at to the gym that you train at, we had a couple of cases and everything that surfaced there. And luckily on my end, I wasn't in the gym with my clients. And immediately, as soon as they heard of those cases, all of them just said, look, I don't want to go to the gym. If we do see each other, we can see each other outside. So we incorporated that. And then when lockdown kicked in, we still tried to maintain the pace and the trajectory we were traveling in with our training, just via video call, video chat, substituting exercises here and there that I'd send to them. So for me, the level four and that 3-hour window hasn't really changed much. The only thing it could have changed is the fact that we are able to actually work in the morning and have a client who's up at that time, because most of them are working from home. Then you'd be up at that time just to try and utilize that hour in order for them to be able to now carry on with that specific sort of a routine, so that, let's say, you don't lose your motivation to train because you say, I'm waking up later, and as soon as I wake up later, I have to work. At the end of the work, I'm already exhausted or no motivation to train. So after I work, I'm just going to eat and sleep and then wake up the next morning and repeat. So the only thing it has done for me and for some of my clients, that 3-hour window between 6 and 9, it just gives us a chance to actually wake up and utilize that 6 a.m. slot that we used to use at the gym, just to get that mentality back and that progression from now just training at any random time during the day when you take a break from work to actually having a set time at either 6, 7, 8, or 9, and then you get ready and you carry on with your day, and then sleep obviously is your own routine, wake up in the next morning. So it just puts a routine to your day and enables you to actually plan your sleep where you don't now sleep randomly. I mean, we've all been through that where we just sleep, wake up, eat, go back to sleep again.
No, absolutely. And I just want to hop back on a point we covered earlier in the discussion. I appreciate the reference that we made to the body's ability to adapt to conditions that they used to do as a routine, but now judging from current circumstances, they won't be able to do as regularly as before. And I do think, I mean, we colloquially refer to that as muscle memory. You'll have to correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Machaya, but I do appreciate it. I mean, I observed this for myself today and for the past couple of weeks, being that I kind of went back and forth on the rule of being able to jog in the morning. What I instead decided to do was to substitute using the elevator in my building where I live for the flight of stairs. And I realized that my body still has that level of fitness to go up and down the flight of stairs I'd have to travel from the ground floor to my apartment without me breaking down and keeling over and gasping for air. So I do appreciate that at least it appears I'm on the right track as far as my own personal health. But finally from me, Mr. Machaya, in your view, judging from your own observations, when do you think working out in a gym will be deemed, air quote, safe to do so? And I think if we consider the fact that this normal that we all want to go back to won't be as normal as we're used to it being, what changes do you think will be deemed necessary to make in order for the activity of going to a gym to work out to be safe to do so?
In my opinion, I personally feel it will take some time for gyms to be safe. And I use that word very broadly with regards to the COVID. It will take some time for them to be safe and for people to actually be comfortable enough to go to the gym and, you know, continue with their routines and they're working out, because gyms, like as we know, are places where everybody's going there to sweat. And I mean, the sweat itself doesn't necessarily mean that's where you get the COVID from and you get COVID from. Yes, bodily fluids, coughing, sneezing, and everything. I think it's just, it is a breeding ground for the COVID, which is why, in my opinion, it should have been, they should have been closed earlier when COVID struck. But however, we are already here. So it would take, I'm not too sure when it will be safe, but the things that I feel would need to be incorporated and brought in, obviously everybody from now on, there's no such thing as going back to normal. Life as we know it has changed right in front of our eyes. It will never be a normal random day where you're leaving your house and going to work or going to the shop without having to put on your face mask. This is now, even post COVID, let's say we've dealt with the pandemic and there are sort of medications and everything that's been released, and let's say they've developed a cure for it, life as we know it across the globe will not go back to the same. We're all going to be living the way the Asian countries have been living. If you notice that before COVID became a thing, that now we've all have to adhere to strict guidelines and rules to stay at home from. Asian countries have been going out, people in Asian countries rather, have been going out and wearing the face masks. Some of them are wearing gloves on a daily, or whatever they're doing, whether it's just random leather gloves or the actual latex gloves. So normal now going forward, with the gyms in question, or what we're speaking about, everybody at the gym, I feel, will have to wear, obviously, their masks going forward. All the everyday trainers, employees, everybody that's training there in any business sector. And it will just mean that the gyms now, I think what they're going to be doing, if they do open, let's say, either level 2 or level 1, it will mean that there will be a capped number of people that actually can access that gym, which in essence, most people will not be happy about, because they everybody wants to sort of have something to fight against, which in my opinion does not make sense. So there will be a capped number to actually enter the gyms. And I think they'll change sort of the access, especially so you'll know this when you actually enter there. Usually you type your ID number, or you give your your access card to the receptionist, who then accesses you and gives back and then hands you towels, etc., etc. I think that will actually change, and people will be encouraged to actually bring their own equipment. There'll be more, obviously, health and hygiene equipment around to sort of clean after yourself. And I think after sort of an interval of training, maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes of interval of training, they might actually move people out, maybe from the cardio area or from the weights area, from each specific section, to actually disinfect and clean that and let the next batch of people in to train. So this is now my thoughts on how things are going to happen immediately after lockdown. And I mean, they might change going forward. I'm not too sure. But yeah, it's very interesting to think about and to see just exactly how not just gyms, but every other sort of sector is going to operate post COVID.
Well, I certainly think if you wanted expert opinion on the matter, look no further than right here on the COVID report, courtesy of Mr. Buntu Machaya, who is a human movement and sports science graduate. He's also a personal trainer who holds a distinction of holding a sports management honors degree, on top of being a men's health magazine cover model, a fashion and fitness model. Talking to us here on the COVID report about the permutations of the COVID-19 pandemic as it pertains to the, albeit simple, exercise of exercising. So go figure. And looking at the ways in which the COVID-19 pandemic has permanently changed the landscape of gymming and working out and the attainment of health as we continue to live life in a time where the COVID-19 pandemic is an actual thing. Buntu, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to chat to us here on the COVID Report. Absolutely valuable insights that we've gained from you on the matter. Those are two motif words that are becoming buzzwords here on the COVID Report. But absolutely every time we invite a guest here on the show, the insight that they give us is absolutely valuable. So one more time, thank you so much for joining us here on the COVID Report.
Thank you very much for having me.
And that does it for another edition of the COVID Report, the capital of all of the facts, all of the stats, all of the figures, and none of the misinformation as it pertains to all things COVID-19. A big thank you one more time to our guests, Mr. Buntu Matshaya, a personal health guru, so to speak, with a glaring resume, who shared some insight with us as it pertains to how he is fulfilling his obligations to his clients through his services as a personal trainer. He took us through the vast knowledge of sports education and knowledge of the human anatomy that he has that informs the best way to maintain your health, your physical health, during the times of a lockdown. Before all of that, we kicked off our show with a discussion with Ms. Selina Maketa, coming from the Credit Bureau of South Africa. I'm saying that wrong. I feel like
Do you have her names and stuff nearby?
I tried scrolling up the group to see if I can find the little write up, but
he sent it directly to you, I think. It was project manager at Selina Maketa, project.
Oh, yes. No, it was in the script. I was looking for it like as a text. It was, yes, of course. It was in the script for the show.
Okay. I'm going to put it for you on WhatsApp now. So
I've got the script opening. Yes. We are almost there. And we are there. Yes. Credit Bureau Association. There you go. Okay, cool. All right. I'll just take that from that outro from the top one more time. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And that does it for another edition of the COVID Report, the capital for all of the facts, all of the stats, all of the figures, and none of the misinformation as it pertains to all things COVID-19. A big thank you one more time to our guests on this edition of the show, Mr. Buntu Matshaya, who so eloquently ran us through the complex process, but quite practical process of making sure you maintain good physical health during the times of a COVID-19 lockdown. Keeping with the theme of health, we must also thank our first guest, Ms. Selina Maketa, the project manager from the Credit Bureau Association, who helped us understand and unpack the concept of maintaining a good, healthy credit during the times of a lockdown. As we always say here on the show, another eye-opening and insightful edition of the COVID Report. We thank you, as always, for tuning in and supporting the show. We continuously thank you for supporting the show via the podcast format. Just to remind you, if you would like to access our podcasts for your binge listening pleasure, www.vowfm.co.za is the way for you to do so. You'll be directed straight to our page with our podcasts, and you'll be able to select from the wide range of conversations we've had here on the show. I also implore you to follow the show on social media at VOWFM, hashtag the COVID Report. That does it for this edition of the show. Again, thank you so much for joining us. Until next time, ciao, ciao for now.